listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News.
Media app.
I'm Chuck Severson. Security is being ramped up outside the federal courthouse in Miami ahead of former President Trump's appearance Tuesday and more than three dozen federal charges outlined in a federal indictment. ABC's Aaron Katursky's there.
We saw a large contingent of men and women that we had not seen around this courthouse before head across the plaza behind me and into the building, U.S. District Court here in downtown Miami. It's there on Tuesday afternoon on the 13th floor where former President Trump is expected to make his initial appearance in court to answer these criminal charges, all 37 counts that he's now facing, and he will enter a plea, it's expected, if not guilty.
Special Counsel Jack Smith says Mr. Trump will have the same rights as any American on trial and that he will seek a speedy trial. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson now quitting as a lawmaker before he's sanctioned for misleading Parliament over parties that broke pandemic lockdown rules. This is ABC News. A U.S. intelligence finding released today says Iran is helping Russia build a drone manufacturing plant east of Moscow that could be operational early next year. Iran has been delivering drone weapons to Russia for its invasion of Ukraine. A California doctor is heading to prison for overprescribing opioids.
In 2019, after his arrest, Dr. Zhong Pham spoke exclusively to KBC TV, saying,
"Well, the worst case scenario is I'll go to jail. But I doubt very much that will happen."
But now Pham, sentenced to over 12 and a half years in prison for prescribing opioids to patients whom he knew were addicts. Prosecutors allege he wrote over 50,000 prescriptions and five patients died from overdoses. He was immediately remanded into custody. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The Vatican says Pope Francis is progressively improving after his second operation in 2 years to remove intestinal scar tissue and repair a hernia. He's expected to remain in the hospital for a few more days. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and I'll tell you what, it's more fun than tipping cows. And actually, you shouldn't really tip the cows, okay? They don't tip as easy as they think, and they might kick you in the... Never mind.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. There's a lot to do this weekend across the western part of the state. That includes the 50th anniversary of Altoona's Cinder City Days. A parade, music, car show, and more will be held tomorrow as part of the event, which gets underway tonight. The 64th annual Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals are set to go off tonight at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The weekend-long competition determines who will compete for a berth in the National High School Rodeo Finals in Wyoming next month. The first performance goes up tonight at 7 o'clock. It wouldn't be June without the June Dairy Breakfasts, and you can find out where you have one located near you this weekend at wisconsindairy.org. Washburn County Fairgrounds, Viroqua, Durand, Richland County, and Grant County all having dairy breakfast this weekend. And the state high school championships continue today. It was Broadhead defeating Somerset 5-0 in D3. Superior plays Sun Prairie East later tonight. I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media News.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our estate with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award winning cheese making. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Up Milwaukee and Wisconsin. This is Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Promised y'all yesterday that we were going to talk about the shared revenue and sales tax bill, and indeed, we are going to waste no time today and get right into it. Questions I'd like to hear from all of you about are, do we need to tell Democrats in the state legislature, and do we need to tell the governor to go get this bill done? How important is this for the state, for every local government, and for the city and county of Milwaukee? What are our alternatives here? Are we going to pass up the opportunity to generate this additional revenue? And if we do, what are the impacts on our state's most vulnerable people? What are the impacts on the Black and Brown community here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? I want to hear what you think about whether or not we need to tell Democrats to get this deal done. We're going to talk about what's in this bill, including some of the stuff that Dems don't like. But I want to know, do we need to get the deal done? Do we need to accept that we've got a political reality where deals have to be made with a Republican-controlled, gerrymandered, undemocratic state legislature? And we can talk about that all we want and how angry we are about that, how unfair it is that close to 70% of the people in this state tend to vote Democratic. And yet we have 40% representation in the state legislature. We can talk about that. But today we need to focus on not that reality, but what are we going to do about it to help fund local government in this state? What are the consequences for the poorest and most at-risk people in our state and in southeastern Wisconsin if this deal doesn't get done? Do we need to rise up and tell every Democratic lawmaker in both local government and state government that we need to get this deal done? I want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. I want to hear what your heartburn about this bill is, if you've got any. I want to hear what you think works in this bill, if you think portions of this work. I want to know if you think there needs to be a referendum that goes to taxpayers. And if you do, what risk do we run that taxpayers decline to put sales tax in place in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County? 844-967-2789. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and we are going to get into it. Let's start with the realities. The realities are that local government has been grossly underfunded for a long time in Wisconsin. Longer than most of us have even been thinking about how local government gets funded. This primarily is due to how shared revenue operates in the state of Wisconsin. Shared revenue is effectively unrestricted payments that go from the state government to local governments that can be used for any purpose. And And at the same time that the state decides each year how much local governments will get in shared revenue, local governments make decisions about property taxes. Except in the state of Wisconsin, local governments are restricted almost singularly the most in the United States as to whether and how they adjust upwardly property taxes. For simplicity purposes, we can only increase property taxes on a local governmental basis by the amount of net new construction. Here's what's happened over the last few decades when we talk about shared revenue. So basically, local governments funded through property tax and shared revenue. In the last few decades, the annual appropriation of shared revenue, which is decided now by a gerrymandered state legislature, it's remained stagnant for decades. It hasn't kept up with inflation, let alone the inflation that we've seen recently. Even though our costs to continue to provide basic services in local government have gone up and gone up dramatically, shared revenue has remained stagnant. According to the Wisconsin Policy Forum's executive director, Rob Henkin, he had this to say: what we've seen is this change in the shared revenue program, where the appropriation has not grown in two decades, coupled with stringent state-imposed restrictions of local government's tax revenue when the value of existing properties rises. He's explaining what I just did to you. And so what we've ended up with in local government are structural deficits that now, due to inflation and rising pension costs, are outstripping local government's ability to close the structural deficit gap on a year-over-year basis, which means both the county and the city of Milwaukee are facing absolutely draconian service level reductions. Now, Evan, if you got callers, let me know who's on the line. Pop it up in text or whatever, because I want to stay with some of the substance here. But I do want to hear from you. Do we need to ask Democrats to tell them to go get this deal done, to tell the governor's office, we got to get the deal done? And yes, there's going to be pain points in any sort of deal, because that's what negotiating is. But here's what we're dealing with. I got to tell you about some of these cuts and what we're facing here. If we do not find ourselves a way to additional revenue in Milwaukee County, here's what we're looking at. We currently have about, here's what's been done in the past. We've reduced, so I want to first talk about what Milwaukee County has done to reduce our expenses. We went from about 7,300 full-time employees in the year 2000 to fewer than 4,000. We've reduced the county's square footage, in other words, building space that we own, by nearly 3 million square feet. We've eliminated bus routes. That's not a good thing. That hurts poor folks. And we've pursued new ways to find revenue in the parks department, different fees for enjoying different services like golf, facility rentals, beer gardens. And we have deferred almost any maintenance that we can on buildings and other infrastructure. And in the county, we have substantially reformed our pension system. Now, the city still has some of those tools at its disposal. The county does not. So in the near term for the county, here are some of the impacts if we cannot come up with more revenue sources. By 2025, we will have a $26 million budget deficit in our transit program alone. By 2028, it will be $40 million. We estimate that we will have to cut bus lines by nearly 20%. That hurts working class Milwaukeeans. That hurts the working poor. Here's a value I believe in: supporting the infrastructure that help working class families stay afloat. Not just, we're not even talking about prospering here. We're talking about staying afloat. We likely would not be able to do anything to improve our jail facility in Milwaukee County. We've been losing lives in that facility, something that should never happen. That will come completely off the table. No improvements there. There will be substantially less property tax funding to zero property tax funding available for parks. Parks are not a mandated service. You want to start seeing closing of parks, the selling off of county land, the land that we all own collectively for a collective benefit, that goes. We may be looking at staff reductions at the county by at least a third. That's 1,300 people. So I want to know, do we need to be demanding that Democratic lawmakers in local and state government get this deal done? Tom, my friend from LA, what say you, sir?
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. Second is that when it comes to the state of Wisconsin, because I just got back from visiting back home, somehow we got to figure out a way where people think that Milwaukee is part of Wisconsin. I mean, they almost act like it's, you know, part of Chicago and not part of the, you know, tapestry of towns of the rest of the state of.
I think I lost you there for a bit, Tom. Let us
know. You're going to have to call us back, Tom. Yes.
Call us back, Tom. Thanks, E. Listen, Tom's point is right on. It's as if there's sort of two states of Wisconsin. But here's the reality. Milwaukee County, the city and county of, are the economic engine of this state, in addition to every business owner out there. So I don't want to discount the business owners who drive this state, but in terms of geographic heartbeats of the economy of Wisconsin, it is the state of Wisconsin. We're home to Frederick, Aurora, the Medical College of Wisconsin, GE Medical Systems, Ascension, Northwestern Mutual Life, Fiserv, Rockwell. I mean, I can go on and on. Marquette University, UWM, Alverno, Milwaukee School of Engineering, Mount Mary, Milwaukee Lutheran College. We're the major airport in the state of Wisconsin. We run the Port of Milwaukee, and we have the highest level of highway service in the state, which the county has to patrol with its sheriff's deputies. Tom, you're back. What did you want to say? Finish your thought, friend.
Yeah, Maggie, what I wanted to say was that Milwaukee is actually what we would consider, and Wisconsin is actually what we would consider, a donor state. You actually pay more in taxes than you get back. You know, it's not like somewhere like Mississippi or one of those places. And I just really, like I said, being in the northwestern part of Wisconsin, maybe because there's just, you know, not much population there, there's just something about it that people don't consider the other parts of the state. Like, it's like you said, two different worlds. And I also would just ask, Maggie, if you could explain to your callers every day or whatever, the difference between private versus public, because private is for profit. You start selling off public, we the people land and parks, and that's, it is now privatized, and people don't have much of a choice or much of a say in terms of what happens after that point.
Amen, my brother. We got to go to a break shortly. Tom's absolutely right. When we sell off public property, it is not there in perpetuity and trust for all members of the public, no matter what your income and wealth level. Hang on here. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Call in and tell me what you think about the sales tax and shared revenue bill, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Civic Media. Keep it locked in.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Weather is brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. With spring here and summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to take the family to enjoy a feature film. See scheduled showings and find out how to rent the theater by logging on amorytheater.com.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 60 tonight under partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for scattered storms. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs around 77. Lows dip down to about 47 tomorrow night. Clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 68. Sunday, under sunny skies. 77 Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 82.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15 Town Call. 1 p.m. The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4 Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie, Dawn, our pal, sticking around for the entire hour. We'll take your calls as well, 844-967-2789. Okay, go ahead, Crudy.
Well, I just want to confess, it is a little personal with Trump.
Is it?
It's a little.
Not personal. I mean, I have nothing against personally against the man, whatever. But he's his actions.
Oh, come on. His whole existence is offensive. Sure.
Yes, but, I mean, so?
There's I can't take people, that personally?
I mean, you can, but then you can take a lot of things personally. I don't take it too personally.
I'm confessing, for me and Maggie, we're rooting against the guy.
Oh, I am as well. Here's a little bit from the indictment from Jack Smith. After his presidency, Trump retained classified documents originated by or implicating the equities of multiple USIC, those are intelligence agencies, members or other executive branch departments and agencies, including... So here is some of the docs he kept from these agencies. Here's like documents kept from the CIA, the Department of Defense, the National Security Agency. He kept documents from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's the UFO people.
The National Reconnaissance Office, the Department of Energy. He kept documents from the Department of State and the Bureau of Intelligence and Research. He kept all lots of things. And as mentioned, Maggie, the retention we know of, the dissemination we don't know. Apparently, there could be boxes, should be maybe boxes, of stuff that's gone to the wind.
Yeah, the math doesn't add up. Here's one of this is document 16, dated December 2019, concerning foreign country support of terrorist acts against U.S. interests. I mean, you know, just some light Sunday evening reading, undated document concerning nuclear weaponry of the United States.
No one knows the horrors of nuclear better than I. Now, Donald Trump is a moron. So what is he doing with nuclear secrets after he's no longer the president, after he's been asked by the government to return them nicely many times, after they sent a subpoena, after they searched his residence?
And here's the thing. What the indictment lays out in this painstaking detail with text messages is that Donald Trump was the one deciding which boxes stayed and which boxes went.
Oh.
Like there's literally a moment where you're reading it and you can see in your mind's eye the great orange man sitting on the ground, like rifling through a box between his legs because he wouldn't let anybody else do it. Like, it's very specific. Let me see if I can find. Oh, so there's a scene described where it's like days to when Corcoran is going to show up to go through the documents.
Right. Okay. Right? His attorney.
Right. And his attorney has told him, like, no one else can do this. I am the only one that can do this. We have to swear out a sworn certification saying that we gave the government back all of the documents. So it's very clear that Trump knows that Corcoran himself is going to go through these documents. And so it's two of his lackeys, including this Nahuda, Walt, texting back and forth, right? And the other one asks Walt, hey, can you get some fresh box lids up here, stat?
I need some box lids, stat!
Because POTUS is concerned that the ones that they have too much writing on them.
Yes, yeah, so it's top secret. Do not touch, like, for your eyes only. Like,
don't get back to the FBI, right? I can just picture, yeah, they had too much writing on them. Like, that detail to me was just so telling, right? And then they describe at one point where this Nahuda is asked to move boxes onto the airplane that's waiting to fly from Mar-a-Lago to Bedminster. And then the indictment goes on to point out that Trump delayed going to Bedminster so that he could supervise Corcoran as he went through the documents.
Why? And there's also some texting back and forth between Walt and one of the Trump family members regarding that trip. It was like Memorial Day of last year.
Yes, it's clearly the missus.
The missus, yes, ma'am. He says ma'am.
Yes,
so,
it's clearly the missus.
So the question is, why would Donald Trump be unpacking, like taking them out of the boxes, according to the text stream, that he would take them out of the boxes and take the documents with him? I mean, this is not his
security
blanket.
When his lawyer is
blanket.
About to get there to go through all of the documents to give the federal government the top secret documents back. Like, there's just no denying precisely what went on here. And that is, Donald Trump asked his, you know, faithful manservant to hide top secret documents about the U.S. potentially being in nuclear war.
Yeah, that's
with
really,
some of our most dangerous enemies.
That's the valuable stuff.
Yeah. And, like, hid that stuff from the federal government.
How did I get totally blocked out of this conversation?
Yeah, you started spacing out.
Let me. I'm going to talk to Dana in La Crosse, listening on the Eagle 1490 AM. Dana, welcome to the political party. Happy Jack Smith Day.
Hey, Dana.
Happy Jack Smith Day, indeed. How y'all doing?
Good.
Really good.
Fair to middling or good, better.
Good. Hey, I kind of got a question for Maggie, if she knows. So regarding all these missing documents that obviously I think we probably have a pretty good idea of what might have happened. But what can we do about finding out what happened with those? I mean, do you foresee them possibly making a deal with him to, you know, just tell us where everything is?
Do we need the documents back that badly enough to give up some of the future prison time for the former?
I don't know if they know what it is, right?
Or worse.
I object.
He's not your quiet counselor.
You don't know what you don't know, right? Like, and somebody was talking about, like, don't they have a log of who takes stuff? Like, yes, but no, that's not really how this stuff works. Like, it's in hard copy. There's just a volume of this stuff that moves through a White House in a day is just crushing.
Dana, sorry, won't see you at the big RPW convention. I think we're being discriminated against. See, the Republicans sent back our check.
For real?
For realsies. 100. Come back, stick around.
Chickens.
More with Maggie Dawn and perhaps you. 844-96-PARTY.
They're winners. Winners get to do what they want. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Right, DJ. Right away.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Security is being ramped up outside the federal courthouse in Miami ahead of former President Trump's appearance Tuesday and more than 36 federal charges outlined in a federal indictment. ABC's Aaron Katursky's there.
We saw a large contingent of men and women that we had not seen around this courthouse before head across the plaza behind me and into the building, U.S. District Court here in downtown Miami. It's there on Tuesday afternoon on the 13th floor where former President Trump is expected to make his initial appearance in court to answer these criminal charges, all 37 counts that he's now facing, and he will enter a plea, it's expected, if not guilty.
Special Counsel Jack Smith says Mr. Trump will have the same rights as any American on trial, and that he will seek a speedy trial. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson now quitting as a lawmaker before he's sanctioned for misleading Parliament over parties that broke pandemic lockdown rules. This is ABC News.
Great to listen to while having a Linies and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media, and don't forget the Civic Media app.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. It's an eventful weekend across the western part of the state. That includes the 64th annual Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals. They're set to begin tonight at the Richland County Fairgrounds at 7 o'clock. The weekend-long competition will determine who will compete for a berth in the National High School Rodeo Finals in Wyoming next month. Today is also the start of Altoona's Cinder City Days. That's celebrating its 50th anniversary. A parade, music, car show, and more will be held tomorrow as part of the event. And it wouldn't be June without the June Dairy Breakfast all over Wisconsin. The Washburn County Fairgrounds are hosting the Tri-County Dairy Breakfast tomorrow morning. Also tomorrow, Vernon County's will be held near Viroqua. Pepin County's will be at the Churchview Dairy of Durand. On Sunday, the Richland County Dairy Breakfast will be held at Redbury Dairy just north of Muscadet, and Grant County's will be held in Cassville. You can find out more information at wisconsindairy.org. And for Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Hey guys, this is Sage from Civic Media. Are you a small business struggling to get the word out? 1260 AM Lake Air is here to help. For a limited time, apply for a $200 grant and receive $1,000 worth of free advertising. Your $200 investment becomes $1,200 with this grant. That's right, you heard correctly. Get your business notice without breaking the bank. Visit civicmedia.us or call 608-949-8989. That's 608-949-8989 for more information. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity.
The Brandy Old Fashioned is Wisconsin's official cocktail. How do you go about making yours a little officialer? Mix in Wisconsin's own Drink Wisconsin Blee Brandy. It's smooth, it's delicious, and it's bottled right here in Wisconsin, giving your Brandy Old Fashioned even more local flavor. And what about those times you're out and about and don't want to bring along a muddler in a glass? Drink Wisconsin Blee's got you covered then too with their Brandy Old Fashioned in a can. Enjoy Wisconsin's quintessential cocktail anywhere. Ask for Drink Wisconsin Blee beverages where brandy is served or sold. Remember to think responsibly when you drink Wisconsin Blee. Drink Wisconsin Blee Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The enticing smell of fresh baked goods, breads, rolls, pies, cookies, and more. This isn't just a bakery. It's Just Dane's Just Bakery, a training program for people dealing with employment barriers. Learn more and order now for your next get-together at justdane.org. Justdane.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Freedom isn't free. It calls folks like you.
I wonder how Joe's taking it. Joe Gigante, my guest last Friday. Mediocre Joe, I mean regular Joe. I wonder how he's taking the news that the man that he believes quite a bit in is under indictment. 38 counts, according to the Devil's Advocates, math.
Stop.
We got to find guests. She's pretty good at math as well. She's Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counselor by day. Super cool radio host right here on Civic Media by late afternoon, 6 to 7 p.m.
Last night.
But normally not Fridays. But you made a special trip down to the Waukesha studio. You, I'm here, Dom's here, and Maggie Dawn's here. It is a Friday political party for Jack Smith. Celebrating Jack Smith Day, you can still join us. Join this party, 844-967-2789. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the indictment I have not read, let me ask you, politically speaking, in your opinion, Maggie Dawn, does this hurt the former president? And I don't mean in the general. I mean with the base. I have a weird hunch that this could actually strengthen him with the MAGA base.
Oh, that was my first thought, right? Immediately I went, okay, well, he's going to fundraise a bunch off of this, right? And keep in mind, one of the criminal investigations into him is basically the lie that he told about the election was effectively mail fraud, yes, right? For all intents and purposes.
Hundreds of millions of dollars raised, yes.
So here we go again, dear friends, because of course this is going to galvanize his base. Like that's why you see all the 2024 presidential candidates, I went and pulled some of their quotes from today, are just all over the place in how to react to this. Ooh, right?
You have a few examples for us.
Yeah.
Wait. I want to hear from Tiny D, Ron DeSantis. Oh. Not a guy that celebrates National Sex Day, I understand, you know.
As long as his wife says thigh, right? Ron DeSantis said that the litmus test for finding his spouse was that they'd go to a Thai restaurant and he'd refer to it as thigh food. And if they corrected him, they were done. That's how he selected his mate.
Wow, he's digging deep, isn't he?
Really,
very,
truly.
Very complex man.
So Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
I'm not a thigh man.
Right. Ron DeSantis of Florida and Vivek Ramaswamy, a wealthy entrepreneur and author, came out strongly in support of Mr. Trump on Thursday, while a former governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, was far more critical, calling for Trump to leave the race. Chris Christie basically called on Americans to withhold judgment until the facts are known. Pence, who's shown some movement in his stance, his willingness to criticize
movement to criticize
the president, said he was withholding his own conclusions while trying to put the onus on the attorney general, Merrick Garland, to silence those in the Republican Party who believe the charges are political and without merit.
Quote, come on, the fly on his head has shown more movement.
Right? Quote, you need to stand up and explain to us why this was necessary before the sun sets today, Mr. Pence said in New Hampshire, addressing Mr. Garland. Quote, the American people deserve to know the basis of this unprecedented action. Like, yeah, that's the indictment. Did you read it, Mike?
Right.
I did. It's kind of important. Take a minute, Mike, page through it, peruse the evidence that is presented therein before you call something like this unprecedented. Because in fact, it's not. And that's sort of the point, isn't it? That people get prosecuted for this stuff all the time. If you believe Edward Snowden is a criminal and treasonous at that, then you have to indict and convict Donald Trump. It's the same thing. If you think Chelsea Manning was a traitor, then so is Donald Trump. But not just a traitor in that perhaps one can make an argument that those two individuals acted in some sort of misguided sense of obligation of transparency.
Or greater good of some
Correct.
Sort, right?
You can't make that argument here. He knew what he was doing. They have him on tape saying so. And here's one of the interesting things in the indictment. I would call it the only bit of the indictment that is at all a little bit Jack Smith going, nah. I've got you. It's the two little pieces of rhetorical flourish, because you could have written this without them. And he includes in two places Trump, in his own words, condemning those who play fast and loose with classified information. Right? So he's calling him a
hypocrite.
Using
his words against him.
Indeed.
Well, he indicted him 38 times over, according to our math, Maggie, so... He's also calling him a criminal.
Yes. Here's some of the statements that Jack Smith included in the indictment. So this is Trump saying these things. In my administration,
Can
I'm going to...
Can you do the Trump voice?
No, because that's dumb. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all the laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law. Quote, we also need to fight this battle by collecting intelligence and then protecting our classified interests. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. That is Donald Trump on September 6, 2016. On September 7th, 16.
That doesn't even sound like him. It sounds way too coherent.
It's too cogent.
Right.
Quote, one of the first things we must do is enforce all classification rules and to enforce all laws relating to the handling of classified information.
Well, if that's the case, Jack Smith is just doing exactly what Donald Trump
correct.
Wanted him to do. Okay.
Correct. I mean, what? That's just, He's pointing out that this guy is completely hypocritical. Here's this. On February 16th, 2017, 4 years before Trump's disclosures of classified information set forth above, this is paragraph 36, Trump said at a press conference, quote, "The first thing I thought of when I heard about this was, how does the press get this information that's classified? How do they do it? You know why? Because it's an illegal process. And the press should be ashamed of themselves. But more importantly, the people that gave out the information to the press should be ashamed of themselves. Really ashamed. The two scenarios that the president is charged with, that Jack Smith is saying we have direct evidence of, is not just evidence that he retained the information because he had it, right? And his lawyers had to turn it over. But it's where Trump is on tape or by his lawyer's own notes showing classified information to who? The press. Okay? Those are the two instances.
Well, it's not against the law to be a hypocrite, maybe Dawn, right? So why does Jack Smith put these in here?
Because it shows that he was so cavalier that it wasn't to someone in his innermost circle. Which one must assume happened all the time.
Right. It wasn't locker room talk per se. This was his common thread.
Yes, it was with someone to whom he has vowed his entire life to take down, a member of that liberal elite media. That's who he showed this stuff to. And it's on tape, and he was knowingly being recorded. So the man is a national walking security threat. Remember one of the first meetings he ever took in the Oval Office?
Yes.
He gave up classified information on videotape to two ambassadors to Russia.
I forget, was that before or after he fired Comey to relieve the Russia pressure.
Folks, right? You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn joining us. You can join us 844-967-2789, specifically to former Vice President Mike Pence. Yes, this is extraordinary. But we heard the press conference. Donald Trump broke national security laws. And all you Republicans out there, all you patriots, right? Country first. MAGA. If you're MAGA and you find out someone's breaking national security laws, how do you reconcile that with your beliefs? And of course, the conspiracy to obstruct justice. I mean, that's every day for Donald Trump. He doesn't know how to do it any other way. And here's a little bit, then we'll get to the callers. Once again, 844-967-2789. Page 21. On May 23rd of 2022, Trump met with attorney number one and two at the Mar-a-Lago to discuss the response of the May 11th subpoena.
They can't name them because they might also be criminally indicted at this point, right?
The
counsel?
Corcoran's.
We know that attorney number one is Corcoran. This is the guy that made the detailed notes that he recorded and that we know has been presented in front of the grand jury.
And as a side note, his two other lawyers also quit today or were replaced with a law firm to be named in the future.
Yes. So actually heard someone who was doing media commentary say, I actually feel a little bit sad for the president today because he had to issue a statement saying that he's going to hire some Cracker Jack lawyers just as soon as he figures out who they are.
I hear Wee Cheatham and Howell. It's in the phone book, and they're taking new clients right now.
It's Dewey Cheatham and Howell.
Oh, my.
Get the joke right, Mike. Jeez.
Trump attorney
one. You know
one,
how I like be corrected on the air,
especially
right?
Especially on the jokes. And Trump attorney two.
Or any other topic.
The attorneys told Trump they needed to search for the documents that would be responsive to the subpoena and provide a certification that it had been compliant with the subpoena. Trump, in sum and substance, made the following statements, among others, as memorialized by Trump attorney number one, and we understand that to be Corcoran. Just a couple of bullet points here.
See, I didn't understand that, but I'm glad you filled in the blanks for me.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what Trump said. I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. I mean, it sounds like the dude from Stripes. You know what I mean? I see you guys touching my stuff, and I kill you.
I was thinking like badges. We don't got no stinky badges.
Number another one.
Chill out, Francis.
Exactly.
Totally.
So as you know, if we ever get into every really heavy combat, I'll be right behind you.
Right.
Every step of the way.
Go right on ahead.
Another thing Trump said. Well, what happens if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? Another one. Well, wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here?
That's the best question, right? Because the other ones you could legitimately say, like a client can ask a lawyer, yeah, so just explain to me what the consequences of different decisions are here.
Not abiding by the subpoena, right?
But that one's like, hey, I've got a whole bunch of these things, but what if we just act like I don't? Is that going to be a problem?
That'd be better, right? If we just told them we didn't have anything?
Like, but with confidence, you know.
We don't have anything. And finally, along
the same. If you strongly object, yes. It's more believable.
Right.
Along those same lines, Trump said, well, look, isn't it better if there are no documents?
Right, that sort of see the point I just made. I mean,
if there are no documents, and again, you got to remember, Trump is not like saying we should turn everything over, that we should give it all back. He's saying, nah, just tell him that ain't here.
Well, and that's
bonfire.
Right. Let's. What happens if there's a flood? Wait. Wait.
Is he quoted as saying that?
No, but like there was a flood, and back in.
There was like a 19, pool water flood.
Listen to me. Back in 1988, he used exactly the same excuse in another huge legal matter. Decades ago, when New York City auditors launched a probe over allegedly delinquent payments from the then Trump-owned Grand Hyatt, key documents that Trump's lease obligations required him to maintain and turn over got lost in a flood.
The pool overflowed. Who knew?
Reading from their filed paperwork, in September 1988, the hotel informed us that it could not locate 7 of the 12 monthly general ledgers because they were discarded after they were severely damaged by water when the room in which they were stored in was flooded. Like, he's doing it again. The guy has one playbook, right?
But some of the accusations were that he was keeping classified documents in a hotel room, in a bathroom,
in the shower.
It is in the shower, and then
because you need to turn the water. Oh, sorry, they're all wet.
There's legit pictures of these huge stacks of boxes on like a ballroom bandstand, and it's literally they were in the ballroom, and the picture that they use in the indictment was taken by a guest who, like, posed in front of the boxes. And they say, photo redacted to protect source. That's what's underneath the photo. I was like, no kidding. That's the wrong selfie to take.
It's Jack Smith Day. She's attorney Maggie Dawn. She's seemingly happy like the rest of us. Come on back. We'll make some time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Feeling pretty good.
Give up your dreams for freedom.
If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, what would you I'll kill you.
To make I don't kid.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stuart Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Hankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. LAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 60 tonight under partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for scattered storms. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs around 77. Lows dip down to about 47 tomorrow night. Clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 68 Sunday under sunny skies. 77 Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 82.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, where's the beat?
It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Happy Jack Smith Day. Last segment for us today, but you can join us, air the grievances, or celebrate a little bit with us if you're so inclined at 844-967-2789.
Deb, let's go to a couple of Maggie Dawn fans, I suspect. Rico from Rock County. Welcome, Rico. Say hi to Maggie.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, how you guys doing? How are you there? Hey. Oh, happy day. Yeah, we got the Jack. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say, Maggie, I am so glad you got back in on this great movement across the airwaves called Civic Media. That was the greatest thing. Not to you guys, but you don't come prepared like she does.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rico. I can break it up a little bit, man.
What do you mean we don't come prepared like she does?
Facts are facts, Rico, I just got to say.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, I just wanted to say the other day I was outside and I got these echoes of Rico coming from the south, from Georgia, I believe, Fannie Willis. And I heard a callers earlier, a couple of them, Bill and Don called in earlier. Rojo, for some reason, there must be blood in the water, or we smell the stink on the pile. Rojo came up a lot today, and I'm just wondering, Maggie, what do you think that might make its way all the way up here to little Wisconsin? Because I've heard she's trying to get people to, states to join in her investigation down there.
Who calls Ron Johnson a person, Rico?
Rico, thanks for the call, man. I guess to his point, literally the Rico charge, right?
Yeah, that's a huge part of what is lingering here. I think, you know, we have an issue that eventually will have to get addressed, and that's like, where's Josh Call? Hello, Josh Call. It's Democracy calling. Would you like to show up today? I mean, of all of the things and all of the moments in your entire career as a lawyer, why wouldn't you want to go to the mat on this thing? Like, if this isn't the one call to arms for someone who professes to really deeply claim to love democracy and want to be an attorney general, right? Like, why is there such profuse crickets from that office? I don't understand that. It wouldn't be an easy case. I think Fannie Willis and, you know, how many months on now are we? But, like, everyone understands.
What does imminent mean exactly?
Yeah. 2 days? 2 weeks?
Honey,
2 years?
I know I'm late, but I'll be home imminently.
On these federal.
I don't think that's going to work.
On these federal charges, I got to tell you, imminently meant pretty damn quick. She's Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. We'll get to a few more callers quickly. Didn't Donald Trump, I've seen on Twitter, Donald Trump changed the law, signed it into law, increasing the penalty for mishandling documents to 5 years in prison and made it a felony. Now, I know he's been charged with worse, but he did that to basically, preemptively get ready to punish Hillary Clinton.
Yes, it was.
Wouldn't it be ironic if he was prosecuted under the very statute that he hardened to stick it to Hillary? Lock her up!
Yeah, it would be like Marion Barry having raised the criminal penalties on 8-ball.
You know, I'm glad we're keeping it all above board here. 844-967-2789. It is National Sex Day. And Jack.
And Jack Smith Day.
I just thought it would be, you know, a nice little bit of political nostalgia.
Right? Yes, thank you for that. A little throwback. Yeah.
It's very and, throwback.
And to the point.
Oh, perfect analogy, yes. Was it not?
In every way.
Donald Trump's hypocrisy is so legion at this point, right? But again, I want us to observe the fact that Jack Smith took the extra inches in this indictment to put in those factoids about what Donald Trump had said, specifically about those that mishandle classified information and those criminal people that give it to folks in the media.
You know, I predict eventually a video of Rudy, it's going to look like Abscam. Remember that when the Federales had some fake sheik paying off all these lawmakers? You remember that in the late 70s?
Vaguely. I was just born, Mike.
We're going to see a whole series of people Rudy was trying to sell pardons to. And then he's also made videos so he could Epstein them after the fact. 844-967-2789. I'm sorry. You go, Maggie.
No. Here's a little interesting fact. First of all,
she grabbed her cross-tabbed indictment of
we
the
do
former.
Have to spend a moment and talk about the fact that this was assigned to Judge Aileen Cannon, right? And this is the woman who was twice overruled by the 11th Circuit for getting things like so egregiously wrong. Here was the appeals court in one of the decisions that smacked Judge Cannon down. Quote, this appeal requires us to consider whether the district court has jurisdiction to block the United States from using lawfully seized records in a criminal investigation. Here's how the court answered its own question. The answer to that is no, period. The 11th Circuit ruled that Cannon improperly exercised jurisdiction and that, quote, dismissal of the entire proceeding is immediately required.
She was accused of flouting the law by the appellate court, was she not?
Yes. Like, I worked for a conservative federal appeals court judge. We didn't write opinions like that. That's basically calling her an idiot. Like, in lawyer speak, that's what that is. So here's what. There's this very interesting, this is super wonky. There's this very interesting piece of jurisprudence in the 11th Circuit. And it doesn't say that a judge who's really screwed up super bad before on the case can be recused on that basis. But it does indicate that if a judge appears to be so biased in favor of a defendant, they can be reassigned. This case is U.S. v. Martin. And so it is unlikely, all else being equal, that Judge Cannon would want to get embarrassed under one of those rulings. So if it sticks with her, I think she's going to actually take herself off the case.
You heard it here first. That, and of course, Dom and I reported 38 indictments.
Yeah, you did.
We have it on good fact from the lady that did the homework. She's Maggie Dawn. You know her from the Maggie Dawn Show Monday through Thursday and occasionally Fridays with the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for doing so, Maggie. Don't forget our pal Pizza Box Mike. He'll be here at 7 on WMDX.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Maggie.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Stephanie.
We'll be right back.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The
ABC News.